I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards?
All right. Okay. Well, we're in it. We're here.
We're here.
Guys, welcome to Breaking Backwards, episode 30-something. We're talking about 1 minute, a very popular episode. You probably have it on your lists somewhere. The Ringer certainly does. And, yeah, this is, we should probably explain a bit about the tone of this episode. Me and Meg recorded this episode already, and that something got fucked up with the audio, so that is our first ever lost episode.
So we're attempting it again, because we're when we commit to something, goddammit, we commit to it. So we're very diligently monitoring our audio to make sure nothing happens this time around.
I'm going back and forth on whether I'm okay with losing that episode, because we've had loose ones, but that one was pretty, like, pretty rambly. It was an hour and 20 minutes long.
So you're saying that it might have been for the best that we're trying to make it a little bit more targeted?
I think I could have salvaged it into something, like, fun, but it would have taken, like, I don't know. This one, I'm just going to go clip on the internet, because I have to get this up tonight.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Should we get into it then? Should we begin at the beginning?
I don't want to rob the fans of, like, hey, Ben, I know you already talked about it, but I don't want to rob. They love that part. That's everyone's favorite part.
What did that we is talk everybody's.
What
that's
did we
everybody
talk about
but
before?
My.
Oh, yeah. About your mom?
Yeah, my mom is like, you guys get off topic too much. And I go, do you not listen to podcasts? And then the answer is no, she really doesn't. So she doesn't know what podcasts are about, I think.
Well, this is Mama Ryan's Corner, which is where we talk about, you know, whatevs. I forget what we talked about. Christmas. I don't know. Fuck. I gained 9 pounds over Christmas. That's something. That's a bit we did.
I'm afraid to step on the scale, to be completely honest, because I go out surfing a lot now because I'm very afraid that they're about to close the beaches. And then when I surf and I get back and it's a weightlifting day, I go, I can't possibly lift weights. I'll overdo it. So I don't lift weights. And then I don't know. Surfing is good for some things, but not others. And I lifted weights yesterday and I definitely am very sore. So I'm rebuilding muscle, as it were. But anyhow, I guess that is neither here nor there. I'm still afraid to get on the scale, I think is what I'm trying to tell you.
Cool. All right. Well, this segment was for you, Mama Ryan. I hope you're listening and I hope you enjoyed this purely free Breaking Bad content that we just made.
That was, we made that just now. We created it.
That's a content, baby. That's right on some digital platforms as we speak. Okay. So we got Breaking Bad. It's a show, and this is a pretty big one.
Yeah, this, I guess, it's always wild because sometimes you get a little, like, coquettish about which episodes are, like, we're about to watch, and you're like, oh, I'm excited to see what you think next week's episode's gonna be like. And I feel like you did that when we watched the episode ICU. And so this one, I mean, it was easy to tell that there was gonna be a lot of big action in this episode. But yeah, this is obviously a heavy hitter for the series in general. So this will be, this was a you know, action-packed big boy episode. I don't know how to describe it.
No, this was the, I don't think I even mentioned this on the original recording. This was the first clip of Breaking Bad I ever saw. It was from this episode.
Oh, really? Was it the 1 minute part or what?
No,
what was it?
It was a boring part. It was, it was in my dorm room and I'd heard the show was pretty good, but had never gotten into it. And it was the scene with Bryan Cranston and Saul talking to Jesse. And I was just like, oh, okay, seems good. I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, that would be very weird out of context, especially with how his face is all fucked up.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's okay, a smushy faced guy from Mr. Show, guy from Malcolm in the Middle, cool.
Seems like a hot cast.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I'll check this out at some point, and I did.
Well, good following through on that promise to yourself. Yeah, I got to take my glasses off with these headphones on. It's too much.
Yeah. Too much. Can you see? Stuff. Can you see?
I can't see.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. But then my roommate came home and I didn't include in that story when I was in my dorm room, I was also jerking off and he was mad that I was just in the middle of the room jerking off.
While
watching that clip from Breaking Bad. Get boys in their dorm rooms. That's all they do. We just jerk off.
Oh, that makes sense.
And my mic just did the thing.
It did.
Boys in their dorms rooms. That's just all they do is jerk off.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I must be very freeing. I feel like I even had that moment when I moved into like my own place out of my parents' place where I was like, I could just do this whenever. And then I did. So
it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It stigmatizes it less for yourself. And I think that's pretty freeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess we should get our jackets on.
Yeah,
it's a chilly. On. It was chilly here. It got down to the 40s last night.
In Los Angeles?
Yeah, in Los Angeles. So
it is a desert, so it gets cold at night.
That's true, especially right by the ocean. You get a little hawk off the ocean, I guess, is what they call it.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking chilly here, but it's just fucking winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there was a blizzard. Is there still a blizzard? Is the snow still there?
It stopped being snowy.
So. It melted all of it?
It melted all of it.
Wow.
God did that.
Whoa.
Yeah. My Lord and Savior.
And Jesus. Who's this?
Yeah, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. Guess what? They're the same person.
How does that work?
I don't know.
It seems unnecessarily complicated. They could have just been like, they're all three pretty badass. And that would have been fine. But now they're like, but they're badass and they're the same person, just in like different forms, like water, ice, and vapor or whatever. Yeah.
The Bible has a lot of really cool lore, but I don't think the best copy editor in the world. And and I think maybe a few arrogant authors who thought all the contradictions should stay. And I think, I don't know, maybe I'd be a big old Christian if they would have nipped some of those in the bud.
So who's a bigger, so is God the biggest deal or is it the Holy Spirit?
Meg, they're all the same. They're one and the same.
But yeah, like,
it's a triangle.
Wait, this is why I'm not a Christian, because I can't think creatively enough. I can't think in such an abstract, I can't form that. I can see this is really upsetting you.
No, I did my first day of work today where I'm starting to wake up at 7 and I am like, dead tired because I didn't plan for that with my night activities. I was just like up till 1 like always. And
why did you switch it around
so I could like, so it wouldn't be dark right when I get off work?
Oh, that makes sense.
That was fun. And my boss was like, yeah, work whenever you want, just do your 8 hours. I'm like, cool, thanks boss.
You should just do your work all night long. You should just try to fit in a day and a half of no sleep and just nonstop 8 hours, so then you'd have the rest of the week to yourself.
That'd be pretty cool. I don't know if they'd allow that, but that would be nice. Okay, guys, we find ourselves down in old Mexico.
And it is the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And Hector Salamanca has a big, dumb telephone.
Yep, it's big. It has a big antenna. It's got buttons that like are real.
Whoa.
Which don't have anymore. If you pause it at the right time, you have to like look for it. His bench has ornate wheels on it.
Oh, yeah, that's very subtle. They hardly showcase that.
I think it's to foreshadow that he's eventually in a wheelchair. I don't know. Or it's to foreshadow that eventually there are cars in this episode.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's one or the other.
Sneaky, sneaky. That Vince Gilligan, always up to something.
Yep. His catchphrase in the writer's room I heard is, oh, it's an Easter egg.
So Hector gets on the phone with what will later, I don't know, I think is Don? Dom? Is it Dom or Don?
I just call them the twins. I didn't even know their names until I was like,
No, who's he on the phone with? It's with Dom, right?
Oh. Who is he on the phone with?
What's the big guy?
Don Eladio.
Don Eladio? Okay.
Yeah, or it could be Juan Bolsa, who's the guy that dies last episode when he gets shot in his house. Could be either of them. They're talking about that. They're like, hey, this Gus guy wants to meet. And he's like, don't do that. He sucks.
He's some chicken guy. Come on, he makes chicken. Why should I give him the time of day? And then he says, oh, yeah, I'll you have my vote. Whatever you decide, fine. Just leave me out of this shit, essentially. And that was kind of the end of the call. But during this whole phone call, these two rascal twin boys are fighting over what's like essentially a G.I. Joe action figure. Mm-hmm. And one of the twins runs around with it and rips its head off. And then the other brother is like, I wish he was dead. And Hector is like, I'm going to stare at you a long time. And then asks the other twin who ripped the head off of the toy to come and get him a beer. And then starts to drown the twin in a big old metal bucket of water. Mm-hmm. And is like, you said you wanted him dead. This is what you wanted. And the kid eventually punches him in the head and says like, and he just kind of looks at him again and goes, oh, family is all, and then skips away into the sunset.
And it made him closer from that point on.
Yeah, so it was a good lesson to teach
him. Now, my question was, what would he have done if he started drowning the boy and the other boy didn't react the way he wanted him to and just stared and went, good.
This is what I wanted.
This is what I wanted, and you're giving it to me. Thank you, sir. Like, would he have finished? Or would he just, like, undrown him and punched him and be like, are you kidding me? Family is all.
I think it's the second one, but I don't know. The guy seems so, like, he's already gone, so why wouldn't he just kill one of his... And I rewatched it last night, as I said, and it is his... They call him, like, he goes, get your uncle Hector, get your uncle Hector a beer, a cold beer. So that is their uncle. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's particularly attached to these kids, so maybe he would have just fucking killed them.
Meg watched the episode again, you guys. I don't know if we talked about that. I've only seen it the one time.
I've seen it a
shit ton of times, but in the last 24 hours, I've only seen it one time.
I felt as though I should refamiliar myself with it, reacquaint myself with the material so that I wouldn't just be like, what happened again the entire time?
That would have been funny. I don't know. All right, well, the cold open ends with they're adult boys now, and they have a little picture of Hank, and they put it in front of some candles, and then
And a spooky effigy of, like, a Lacey doll.
Yeah. And they both say he looks like a nice man.
Yeah. It's also, like, a shitty, grainy picture. I feel like they could have found a better picture on the DEA website.
Of him, like, actually posing?
With, like, a... But maybe they don't have a DEA website identifying all of the DEA agents by face. And then that's the end of it. You get the sense that they're going to go kill Hank.
Now, the twins are new to you.
As far as I know, like, I don't know these guys' names. Like, they must not be that important, right? Like, this must be like a one and done type of thing, right? I don't know. They're related to Tuco, but I've heard more about Tuco than I have these guys, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm more than halfway through the series, so it seems like they're not as important as Mike and maybe less important than Gail, who are characters I've heard about since the fifth season, you know?
Yeah, that's true. They don't really talk about them. Once they're dead, they're kind of like, yeah, those fucking guys.
those guys.
No, they didn't talk! You gotta talk if you want me to remember you.
They talk, they just say one word things and then two word things.
I brought this fun fact up last time. I would like to bring it up again for the listeners. One of them is an actor, the other one, his twin. And then one of them got the call, hey, we're casting twins. He's like, bro, come on, come to this audition with me. we'll be on this. And it worked out. And now they're probably both actors. I don't know. Yeah. Good on him. Or one of them is trying to be an actor.
Well, I mean, he's acting in this. He's a character in this.
Doing a good job.
Yeah.
So that was cool of him.
I guess the one that's not an actor is probably the one... Oh, no. This is hard to say. Because I was like, oh, I guess the one that's not an actor is the one that got pinned in a truck or whatever because he had less lines. But then he had to be in the next episode. So maybe that one's the actor. The other one... just got to say a few lines. I was thinking it was like, you know how when they have like little baby twins, like the Olsen twins, and one was like a better actress than the other when they're on Full House, so that one got all the lines and the other one was just like quiet in the corner, you know?
Yeah.
I was just trying to decide which one was the twin that acted and which one was just the, you know, the hygienist or whatever the other job was.
Oh, wait. Oh, and I have to correct myself.
Oh.
Holy shit. The actors who play the cousins are real life brothers, though they were born 3 years apart.
Oh, so.
You were right the whole time. You were. Yeah. Wow. Egg on. Well, they didn't hear me last time when I was like, no, they're twins. Meg, they're twins. And I really died on that hill.
They look very similar. Like, they definitely have a family, like, it's strong genes in that family.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. All right. Well, that's my bad. feel shitty about that, but okay. Well, moving
on. So we're back. So the cold open's done. And we're into the real meat and potatoes of the episode.
What is it? Oh, present day. Oh, okay. Okay, we're here.
And
that's my
for
dog.
For the life of me, can't remember. Oh, now I can remember. We've One got second. Gracie in the background.
Gracie, knock it off. Gracie. Someone's at the door and she's barking at him.
She just loves you so much.
Yeah, she loves content.
And she just loves protecting you.
Yep. Gracie, you're making a bad impression for the listeners, okay? Thank you. Okay.
So, Jesse is pulling up in his shitty old Toyota to his house, and he looks tired, and he looks like he also just, you know, got away with something. And he goes to open his door, and guess who's rolling up in a newer Jeep, I guess? I don't know what car it is. I think it's a Jeep. It's Hank, and he is walking real intensely, beelining straight towards Jesse, who's like, talk to my lawyer. You got nothing on me, yo. And Hank just beats the shit out of Jesse. Just really...
And this beating you'd only heard about recently.
Yes, it is. It's news to me, this beating.
Yeah, and it's a beating. And he's like, you knew my wife's name. You knew her number. How? And so then Hank's like, he has a feeling that a lot of young boys have where you go, what a mess.
I also kind of felt like, sorry, I'm making sure. Okay, we're good. He also was like, let's make sure that this guy doesn't just hemorrhage internally here, I guess, because I beat the shit out of him, I should call an ambulance. He could have just walked away. That's a thing that, you know, say what you will about Hank's political leanings. He does the right thing most of the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He does some shitty police work in season 5.
I'd say questionable.
Yeah. He puts Jesse in considerable danger on purpose. To lock up Walt.
True.
Sorry. I'll never forgive him for that.
No,
that's
fair.
That was when Jesse was being cool.
Yes. And then when the cops come to take statements, the ASAC is like, hey, pal, you want to talk to him? No, we can hold him off for another day if you want. It seems like he's trying to protect his officer, you know, or his agent, I guess. I think... Does he just say, like, go home to your wife, hold her tight, something like that?
And then Hank's like, you know I did it, right? Everything. And he goes, shut the fuck up and go home. He's like, but I did the crimes.
I did the crimes real hard. And then, after that, I'm sorry, even though I rewatched it, still spotty on things that happened.
It's okay. Exact order is not, like, super important. And I have it in front of me, so let's use this tool I've been given. next, it comes that scene in the hospital where Saul makes a wonderful Rocky joke. He makes a Beatles joke.
Sorry, something's scratching at here. What's up, cat?
Do you want to come in?
Come on in.
We both have animal companions now.
Yeah. Mine is a temporary companion. Yours, more permanent.
More permanent, yeah.
She's just, you know, got to check everything out. I don't know what you thought was going on here. Yeah, Saul takes a picture of Jesse's face and goes, oh boy, Adrian,
or something. You look like gross.
And he did. He did look very gross. But he was also like, you've done good work here getting the shit kicked out of you because the DEA is going to want to keep this under wraps. You've got to get out of jail free card. They're going to leave you alone for a little bit as long as you lay low. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why the laying low and get out of jail free card was important was because of the close call with the meth RV that we learn about in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll find out more about that. That is, but then Jesse's like, no, guys, here, I got my own plan. What happens next is I'm going to fucking ruin your brother's life, Walt. And, yeah. And it's going to rule for me. It's going to suck for him and, eat my dick. Cause if he wants to, if I get caught or anything, I'm just going to be like, hey, I know Heisenberg. That's you.
And so I'm going to keep cooking meth on my own because fuck both of you. Mm-hmm. And I'm always going to do what I want to do. But I'd like to talk about the like threats he makes towards Hank to Walt, which are
these are very fun. These are very
juvenile.
Fun threats.
He's like, I'm going to take so much of your brother-in-law's money that he's going to be scrubbing toilets in Tijuana's for pennies, and I'm going to be standing there going to take my share. And I was like, I don't think that's how you work. You don't get punched in the face and then get a cut of everything that person makes until they die.
Yeah.
It's very much how, like, when you're in fifth grade and somebody, like, does something and you're like, I'm going to sue you for $1 million. That's kind of what that scene felt like to me, mm-hmm. you know? And they're like, hey, maybe you don't do that. You don't take it that far because you still do cook meth, and that there's no amount of beatings that's going to make that go away.
Yeah. And then Saul's like, hey, Walt, come talk to me out here. And he's like, yo, we can't have him do this. And Walt's like, yeah, that's probably right. But what do we do? And Saul says, well, maybe we might have to explore options, you know. And he slowly rolls his finger across his neck.
And he does that thing where you hang up, you're like, you pantomime being hung like by a noose.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes like, he does like a object work of Tony Montana shooting up the place.
And then Walt goes, what are you implying? And then he goes, you know, pulls out a fake sword, shing, and then pretends the head is falling over. And then Walt goes, you can't mean, and then it cuts to black.
Yes, and that's the end of the episode. No. And then what happens next? Is it then at the deposition room?
We enter the DEA field office where Hank invokes the Fifth Amendment, and he's talking to some gentlemen.
From the Albuquerque Police Department, who are investigating the case, I guess?
Yeah, and let's get into it. These two men are played by Chris Rainey and Mark Silverston. Real quick, Chris is in a bunch of shit. He books. Let's see what we can find that's worth note. He was in Spare Parts, a Western, and something called Justice, a Western. And we talked about this last time. He's mostly a producer. Oh, but he has 73 acting credits. Jesus, Adam.
That's like exactly verbatim the words from last time.
Oh no, but he also plays ABQ Detective in this episode. Okay, great. He plays a lot of cops.
Okay.
And the other one is Mark Silverston. He's in a few more things. Now, Meg, have you heard of a politician named Elizabeth Warren?
Oh, sure, yeah, I've heard of her.
Did you know that her favorite TV show is a show starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson called Ballers?
I had no idea.
Oh, well, that is a fact. And did you know Ballers stars a man named Mark Silverston, who is an ABQ cop in this very scene we have just watched?
It stars him, so he's like a guest star on it, or?
Well, he plays someone named Mark Crowler, who's in one episode, but
okay.
There
sounds
he is.
Sounds like it's a guest star if they gave him a last name.
I think he seems pretty cool. And his first credit was when, Meg?
1985.
Okay.
Okay, way off.
Yeah. All right, that's enough about them. Turn off the music. But now we got to talk about Steve Cormier, who plays the OPR officer. Yeah, he has 12 credits. One of his latest ones is in 2013. He was in Wyatt Earp as Tent Saloon Bartender. Back to you, Meg. Cut the music.
Okay, so in this deposition, we hear Hank describe how he had cornered Jesse at a scrapyard and then received a call that his wife was in, you know, jeopardy and in the hospital. So he left to go make sure his wife was okay. Guess what? She wasn't even hurt in the first place. And when he got back, the Winnebago was gone, presumably destroyed. So that's when he went over to Jesse's house and beat the shit out of him. And that's kind of it. And he pleads the fifth about any more details. And then they take pictures of his fucked up knuckles. So I feel like that's kind of it. And yeah, as you said before, in the last episode, the episode that never was.
The lost episode, yeah.
It's a lost episode. His hands looked way worse the day after being laid out on a table than they did immediately following the actual ass kicking.
And I need to point something out that our listeners are going to be pissed about. That wasn't Steve Cormier in the last scene. That was my bad. It was Michael Schauer. Steve's in the later deposition scene. I mixed them up. Michael's in I Love You, Philip Morris in Tekken. His last movie was The Pardon in 2013. I'm sorry. Moving on.
Okay. Moving on. We then have Hank.
Oh, we have the sweet edit. This edit that I gush about. That I talked about so much. I love it. I love it, Meg.
Yes, you love it because you see Hank being tough as nails, this DEA field agent, and then he's approaching the elevator to leave. The elevator's door is open, and guess who it is? It's his loving wife, Marie, all dressed in purple. And he gets in the elevator doors close, and hard cut to...
He's crying. He's crying on her shoulder. And he's so sad, and he doesn't want his world to come crashing down, but it's coming crashing down.
And his wife is being very supportive and trying to, like, comfort him during this trying time.
And then hard cut, elevator's open. He looks fine now. And it was a good way to show how we hide our masculinity sometimes. I'm a man. I do that from time to time.
Do you? You feel like you hide your emotions?
Sometimes.
Okay.
others know. Ah, got an ex who'd say I hide my emotions too much, tell you that much. Hey-oh!
As they're leaving DEA, he goes, now don't you tell a goddamn soul about this, Marie. I know how you love to get on the horn and yap, yap, yap. And she goes, oh, okay. And then he goes, Marie, who'd you tell? And then a hard cut to Skylar White in her cool old truck. I don't know where the baby is at this moment.
Probably with Flynn.
Here's hoping.
He babysits. Or she just probably left her in the car with the window rolled down.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, it's 2007. It was crazy back then.
Yeah, times were nuts.
We were like, what? Racism is over. Hooray. It was a wild time.
What did they think in 2007 racism was over?
I feel like with Barack Obama, everyone got really excited and they're like, shit, we finally fixed racism. Good for us, y'all. And then slowly, slowly, slowly for the next 8 years, there was like, oh, no, there's still a lot of racism out there.
Oh, it really came bubbling to a peak in the last. Yeah.
And then now we're like, yeah, it's pretty racist all the time.
Perhaps never, more racist than before.
Well, it's not only that, and it really did never stop. Yeah. And so, oopsie doodle on our parts.
Oopsie doopsie poopsie for sure.
Yeah. But anyway.
Skylar is like, hey, you know this Jesse Pinkman fellow. Why don't you get him to not do what he's doing? And Walt is like, let me eat my peanut butter sandwich. I can't control Jesse. He's his own person with agency. And we're not like friends. We just cook meth together sometimes. Jeez.
Well, and you forgot the best line of the scene, which is she sees his condo for the first time. She goes, huh, guess crime really does pay.
And then he says something like pissy back at her. Yeah.
He goes, did you just come here to insult me?
I don't even know that what she said was an insult, rather than just like...
It was her tone, Meg. It was her tone. I believe the bit we did last time was if she had said it, wow, well, crime really does pay.
I think that's more condescending than the way she said it.
No, she's like, no, seriously. I am in some IRS shit with my boss, Ted. I was kind of steering clear of it, but sounds like we could have a real windfall if I leaned in. So good job, husband.
And then she's kind of, when he like gives some static about being able to change Jesse's mind, she goes, ah, but Hank is family. And he goes under his breath in a way that I think is so... I find this very uncharacteristic of Walt, of what I know to him up to this point, to be not conflict prone. He goes very passive aggressively, like, not currently, or something to that effect. And she goes,
I don't know right now.
Yeah, like, what did you say, motherfucker? And he goes, not currently, okay? He's not my brother-in-law. We're not family. And then she goes, and she stomps away. I don't know actually how that ends.
Oh, yeah, she stomps away first, but then she goes back and she flicks his dick. And he's going, stop it.
All right, and so then the very next scene, I feel like...
Yeah, let's see if she knows it. Let's see. She watched it twice. She should know.
I don't put that type of pressure on me.
I'm looking at it. I got no pressure.
I feel like we must be back at the hospital in some way, but no, you know what? I bet they're cooking meth. I bet he's going
to... Okay, I was about to say F minus, but then A plus. Yeah. They go back to the super lab, and Walt's golden retriever, Gale, is very excited to be there.
And we kind of just gushed a little bit about how cute of a couple Gale and I would be here. Because Gale is very dorky, and he's very excited to cook meth, and he's trying to be very helpful when Walt's like, I had car trouble. So he's like, oh, you should have let me know. I would have come and picked you up. We're going to work. And then Walt kind of just fires off a bunch of things that Gale has already done, like scrubbing things and removing moisture from other things. And he's like, I've done it all. We're very simpatico. And then he does this thing where he's like, I believe this is going to be the start of a beautiful friendship or whatever. Like, he tries to do a Humphrey Bogart. And it was just so like, ah, what a cute man. Very lovable meth cook.
I didn't like him as much when I originally watched this until I started seeing him through your eyes. And now I like him a little bit more.
Did you think he was annoying and stupid or what?
I was like, look at this wiener. I'm glad Jesse took this dork job.
Oh, that's too bad. No, he's a nice guy.
I'm a different person now. I've grown. Now I see. I didn't want him to get shot in the face.
In general, you didn't want that for him? This time around? Or the first time were you shoot him?
And I was like, do it, Jesse. Pull the trigger. Kill this man.
So then we go back to the hospital after that, right? Last time I condensed the two scenes. No,
we don't.
We go to the Hank Strader's house, and he's getting ready.
No.
Oh boy, I keep just shooting holes in this bucket. I don't know if that's an idiom.
Well, speaking of shooting and buckets, we go to an arms dealer in the desert.
Of course we do.
Yeah. And the arms dealer, who I say has five total lines because it's broken up by those scary men saying things.
Yeah, but also I think it's broken up by actions. If those actions of him, opening up those different crates were called out and broken up, the chunks of dialogue.
I watched the special feat. He just improvised all that.
Oh, wow.
So it was just, nope, so we know for a fact it was an under five. It's Nate Mooney, and I hadn't heard of him before, but I found out on Mike last time, he was one of the McPoyle brothers. He's in a million things. The other McPoyle brother is in Westworld. But this guy's in Stand Against Evil, Adopt a Highway, Everything Will Be Okay, Son of Zorn. We talked about Artemis from Son of Zorn, and Grey's Anatomy. And House! Okay, so... Yeah, Jesus Christ, he's been around.
He books. He works. Good for him.
He books. He works.
I think, you know, we talked about how he's got those kind of God-given hokey looks, or he seems like just a yokel because he's got, that thin face with sharp features, but it's, a soft jawline, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that one guy from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, the really dumb-looking one.
Yeah, he's in a bajillion things.
Yeah.
I forget his name. He was in Holes.
He was in Holes. Yeah, he's got... I wouldn't want to have to be like, they probably see each other a lot in auditions, I'd have to guess.
Yeah. All right, well, that's enough of him. Anyway, yeah, he has a long monologue about it. He wants to pee on a girl.
Yeah, and he does. And
fun.
I think it should be reciprocal. I think he should then want to get peed on by a girl. He might like it.
Well, maybe, but it sounds like this girl really wants to get peed on, and he wants to do the peeing, and if that's where they're both comfortable at...
Yeah, I mean, more power to him.
Yeah.
I just wish he stopped and went, maybe I'd like to get peed on one day.
Maybe. Who knows?
He has to drive all the way from wherever they are in New Mexico to Memphis that day, and I don't think that's possible.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to really hustle.
Yeah.
But it could be done.
You think so?
New Mexico to Memphis. I don't know. I don't know where in New Mexico they are.
Oh, fair.
And I don't know how time works.
That's fair, too. I don't really
know. I'm on the record not knowing how cars work. Yeah.
Okay, but the most important part of this scene is he's showing off these fancy bullets that, when upon impact, expand. They have, like, things in their head, in the tip, that make your head explode. And he gives one of the brothers one for free, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's...
And that. Listener, you gotta fucking remember that, okay? The show doesn't hold your hand, but you need to fucking know. He's got a free bullet, and it has explodey bits in it.
And it's in his front pocket.
That's important. If he put it in his back pocket, Hank would be dead.
But because it's in his front pocket, that's a thing.
Yeah. So remember that. Thank you. Anyway. Oh, and then he's like, we only want vests. And so the guy's like, are these, hey, these vests look sick. Do they work, though? And the guy's like, dude, I have one on right now. So they shoot him in the vest and then throw money at him like a stripper.
Yeah, and I said, and I still think about this upon second time watching it, like, how much money did I expect for them getting shot in the chest? Because they did, like, break a rib of his, or more than that, I don't know. Maybe they punctured a lung, who's to say? I think, frankly, that I would need a lot more money than, like, the 8 bills they threw down there. That just wouldn't cut the mustard for me, you know?
Do you know what we should have done? I'm just thinking about this right now. I should have, because my audio from the last episode is fine, we should have had you just try your best to have a podcast episode with my audio.
That sounds like a nightmare to me.
Yeah, it's what I would have done if yours would have, but fuck. That idea is gone now.
I think that we're doing it the right way.
We're doing it the right way, but it would have been so interesting. It would have been like an art piece.
So like I would listen to what you were saying, and then I would try to respond to it.
And you'd get interrupted a lot because that happens in real life, but also, like, you just wouldn't know. And then I imagine it would turn into you going, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm apologizing to the audio of you that existed the day before. So I'm apologizing to you in the past from the future. God damn, that's too much to think about. And I know it would have happened. And it would. I used to apologize to my babies when they were newborns if I, like, dropped an ice cube on them and they were like, nah. So, like, I absolutely would apologize to a thoughtless recording that.
And then I feel like near the end, you would have been like, you're not even Adam. Fuck you. Like, and gotten mad at the recording. But who knows? Who knows?
And then my dick would have swung even bigger. I was, I had some dirty tweets today I want to tell you about where I added Mitch McConnell and threatened to smack him unconscious with my giant titties. I was so mad at him. It was a bad way to wake up with that news, man. Mitch McConnell.
Wait, what news happened today?
I knew this was going to happen and you knew this was going to happen, but he outright won't let anybody talk or hold a vote for the $2,000 stimulus. And so he's basically blocking it because he's barred anybody from speaking about it. And I just was, I was mad. So I still get angry. There's a part of me that has some anger to it.
Yeah. The Senate's weird. I feel like, 51 of those folks want to do it. They should be able to make the vote, but it's that one guy has to want to do it. And then he is like, all right, we'll vote on this. Weird rules.
My son said the other day, and he's 8, that no one person should have that much power. He said that just as an original thought of his own. And I went, And that's something from the mouths of babes. That's what I thought.
I agree. I agree with your child.
That's good.
I remember when he used to be five.
When he used to be five, you really thought he was like just in his own little world, remember? Yeah. Yep, like he says sure things that make no sense and he doesn't seem to know what's going on at any point in time.
Yeah, I bet he's a little moodier now.
Oh my God. You have no idea.
Is he? Yep. Hey, that makes sense. But all right. They broke this man's ribs. That man was in all those TV shows I'd mentioned. And then we get that scene where Walt gaslights Gale.
And that was hard to watch. I didn't like seeing that. He's like, basically, it took me a second to connect the dots before, but now I understand completely. He's lying about a batch being ruined as evidence of a reason why he should fire Gale and replace him with Jesse so that he won't have to eventually kill Jesse if they're 50-50 partners. It seems like people have had this kid's number for so many seasons. The fact that he is the one who survives this whole series blows my mind.
Walt?
No, Jesse. Different people have wanted to kill Jesse, like Gus, Mike, Saul, Hank. Everybody wants to kill Jesse, and Jesse's the one who outlives them all. It's insane.
Yeah, I'll tell you the fun fact I was saving for season one, but they literally every time like Vince Gilligan and Aaron Paul do an interview together, they always like, hey, well, this is a thing that happened, which is Jesse's supposed to die in the season one finale, but season one was cut short during the writer's strike.
Ah.
And during that time, they're like, hey, this Aaron guy, he's got some chops. And so they kept him around.
Oh, that's wild. I had no idea.
There's three episodes that were never filmed for season one.
Wow.
I don't know if they were. Oh, and presumably never written because that's the whole deal. Yeah. But he was supposed to die. They're like, get this fucking junkie out of here.
And he was just going to get like other partners throughout the series that presumably he'd kill.
Who knows? There's lots of stuff like that. I have a fun little anecdote on how Mike came about that I'm going to hold on to till later.
Great. I like Mike a lot.
There's a lot of little stuff. It's crazy when you hear that, especially with like beloved TV shows where so many things that became like just tent poles and like something someone loves about that thing so much kind of came about because of like happenstance and accident and like put it like fixing machines with duct tape and bubble gum.
Is that what they call it? Is that like the example of necessity being the mother of invention?
All right, you just put it more eloquently than I did, but yes. Yes, that is it.
Oh, okay. So that's it. So now I finally understand that phrase. My brain is so shot, I don't know what comes next. I feel like it's finally back to like Marie talking to Hank in the bedroom, but I could be wrong.
In their gross little bedroom. Oh, wait. Wait. No, there's another thing. No, you're right. Yep. He's mean to Gale. He says, we gotta kill this batch. And it's mean. Guys, we fucking talked about this already, all right? We're doing this again for you.
We're doing it for you and because there was a oopsie doopsie poopsie.
Well, no. I know that you need your content, you guys. And I was like, whatevs. We'll skip it. And Meg was like, no, if they don't get content, they start scraping their necks.
Yeah, that's true. They get itchy. Our rabid listeners. I was dismayed at the fact that that gross little bedroom looks so much better filled to the brim with hospital equipment.
It really does. Yeah. That's where Hank's bedroom is what we're talking about. They have a little scene where Marie's like, tell him he had a pipe. And Hank's like, no, I'm doing the right thing.
And he also mentions how something happened in El Paso with Tuco, and it's really fucked with him ever since, and he doesn't feel like he's the guy he thought he was, which I interpret to mean like he thought he was a lot tougher than he was, and he's just not recognizing his natural reaction to trauma. So something really traumatic must have happened. Maybe somebody died that he was close to or something. I don't know.
Possibly. I don't know. But, well, I know. But,
Yeah. You're not going to tell me no matter what.
Yeah, I'm not going to say shit. I'm not going to say shit. Ever.
Okay.
Ever. This is my last episode in this podcast.
Seems challenging for me to soldier forward, but I will.
It's just Meg talking into a mic. Okay. All right, me and Meg renegotiated. I'm still on the podcast.
Oh, good. I'm glad that worked out in our favor. Everyone's favor, really. The fans' favor, if we're being honest.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's that. They talk, then they're on a bed. Then Walt visits Jesse in the hospital. Oh yeah, we talked about this last time, and I want to mention it again. Jesse gives two pretty lengthy monologues in this episode, and this was not the episode he submitted for Emmy approval. That was Half Measures, which me and Meg agreed, a good episode, not really like a great Aaron Paul episode.
Did he win? But he did win for this season.
Yeah, he won an Emmy. Yeah, he won it. He won for the season for sure. That's the one they pitched. I don't know.
I have had a lot of friends who've been in Emmy consideration before. And whether or not they've won is irrelevant, but it is very strange how they have to pick out which episode they submit, because I remember being blown away by certain episodes and being like, no, it was actually a wiser thing to submit this less strong episode. I never really understood it, you know?
That is interesting. Oh, can you hear a siren?
I cannot, not on my end.
Oh, wow. What about now?
Oh, I think I did hear it.
Yeah. That's New York.
Wow, just like on TV.
That's the city actively not sleeping, everybody.
Yeah, that makes... Usually it would be asleep at 3:30, but...
I filed my first noise complaint last night.
You filed a noise complaint on who?
Yeah, there's a portal you can do online. I'm a fucking narc now. It's great. No, these people hang out on my... They, get these giant speakers, and they just kind of hang out in front of this one apartment building, two buildings down from me. And just blast tunes at 2 in the morning on a Tuesday night. And at first I was well, this won't work out. And then someone told me that you can just file a noise complaint anonymously. And I went, well, no kidding.
And I've done that before too. Not noise complaints, but I remember the first place I lived in LA years ago, I was renting a room from this lady for $800. The place was filled with animals that just shit and pissed everywhere. And it was just not a healthy environment to charge people to pay money to live. And I ended up reporting her for having something like an insane amount of cats and dogs that she didn't care for. It was really wild. Oh, man. Well, I hadn't thought about that lady in a long time.
I hope those jerks don't find out who I am and then report me for my dog. And then we get in this little accusation war. Because I had a dog. What if they're we saw him punching it?
I don't think that's what's going to happen.
I hope not. I mean, it'd be a lie. I don't punch the dog.
How would they find out that you filed a complaint? Do you even actually see them ever?
No, I never see them.
And you're allowed to have a dog in your building, right?
Yeah, it's true. I think the law is on my side.
So I think everything's going to be okay for you.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, unless they're listeners.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What a world that would be.
That would be such a good, we got your fucking number guy, is if they were playing, they played music, tomorrow night, and...
It was a podcast?
You got beat me to it. They played me, and I went to file a noise complaint, and then all of a sudden, I'm Adam, and I'm Meg, and I was like, what? And they're like, we fucking got you. We know where you live, dude. Yeah. If you ever file a complaint again, we'll beat you up.
Well, hopefully that won't happen.
It'd be pretty cool.
It'd be wild if it did, but hopefully it won't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all right. Jesse gives a big fucking monologue because Walt's like, hey, you should be my partner. $1.5 million. It would be good time. And Jesse gives a whole monologue in cry voice. Of I'm saying no to you.
Yeah, because apparently he's lost everything he's ever had and loved due to the fact that he worked with Walt. And I think it has something to do with that girlfriend. And I think it has something to do with some more things in his life that were good before Walt came along. And he says no. And Walt goes, well, ain't that a pisser? And then he leaves. And on his drive home, he answers his phone, and Jesse goes, 50-50. And that's kind of, they've agreed to work together. Immediately before that, he has a conversation with Gus, telling Gus, Gale's just a ding-dong, and I don't like him. And you said I was in charge, and I need Jesse because we have, an unspoken language amongst each other, and it's important, or what have you, yeah.
And Gus says, you know what's best, Walter.
I trust you completely.
And then how would you like to get Philly cheesesteaks later today? That's my Gus impression.
Yeah, that makes that's probably better than trying to intimate the accent. Because that might
Let's just do Santa for everything.
ho ho ho. Yes.
Yeah. Well, so then we cut to the DEA office, and that's where we meet Steve Cormier, who's been in a bunch of stuff that we're not going to get into now.
You already know about it.
Like Wyatt Earp in Plain Sight, the astronaut farmer. Anyway, and he plays the Office of Personal Responsibility, which is a term I had to look up because he's just credited as OPR official.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or professional responsibility, not personal. That wouldn't make sense. And he's like, if I write it up like this, you'll sign it? And Hank's like, yeah, that's what happened. And then
there's like heavy vibes of people being like, this is a bad idea. And we brought up before, it kind of seems like when Hamilton's like, I should write the Reynolds pamphlet and release it. And all of his friends are like, this is a really bad idea. It's like, no, it's the right thing to do. And the second that Hank agrees that that's what happened and he'd sign it, then Mustache Jones stands up and goes like, then give me your badge and you're not getting any money. You are suspended. Mm-hmm. You are a bad boy. So
yeah. And he goes, and you're never going to be president now. Never going to be president. That did you get that reference? Because that was from the Reynolds Paper song.
Yeah, I remember that. If you want to see what I had in mind, it was not the play, but the Hamilton episode of Drunk History. Where you would recognize a few familiar faces in that particular scene.
I would, personally?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We talked about this last time, and you brought it up, and I'd like to bring it up again, that it's crazy that in 6 months, he's an ASAC again.
Yeah.
not because he doesn't deserve it, but just because he's been through a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, he's young, and maybe, like, pick someone else for now.
Just to
he'll
let
get his shot.
Hank stabilize, for fuck's sake. Like, because, yeah, he's in his early 40s, right?
Yep.
And he absolutely just beat the shit out of somebody, got shot to, by the end of the episode, gets shot to shit, spends months in recovery, and then brings down a giant meth ring that nobody sensed. And I understand that's the justification for making him ASAC, but it just seems like such a big leap. Like, this guy's been through a lot in the last 18 months. Maybe let's just give it some time, you know?
Well, yeah. And not only that, the fact that he did bring down that meth ring, he did it with, like, nitty-gritty detective work. And then as soon as he's ASAC, the guy ahead of him's like, hey, man, all these cases are you now. You can't pay too much attention to any single one. So that's what you, and he's like, well, that was, like, my main deal.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really good at. But I... And then it got him killed by a Nazi.
By a bunch of Nazis.
Yep, whole bunch of. Well, yeah. The one main one shot him in the face. But true, he couldn't have gotten in there without, you know, his backup. I don't know why I'm talking still.
So yes. What were we gonna say?
The meeting's over. Yeah. The present day ASAC walks out and is like, I heard through the grapevine
that he's not pressing charges. And
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so good for you. And Hank's all like got a little skip in his step as he leaves the whatever the equivalent of Ralph's is in New Mexico. And is this a child or is this a cat? It's a cat. And so as he's got flowers and he's talking to Marie, he's like, I think maybe, you know, somebody's looking out for me. He gets in the car, gets off the phone, gets another phone call, and that phone call is a spooky, scary voice.
Spooky, scary voice that goes, someone's going to shoot you in one minute.
And you and I talked about this last time, but I think it bears bringing up again. It was weird that they, like, knew that it was going to be 1 minute and that these guys are tailing him. And also on top of that, that, like, those guys knew exactly where Hank was going to be. And how to date? I don't know. It just seemed like they, unless Gus was also being like, give him like a minute and a half and then called him, you know.
Well, it feels like the best time to attack Hank would be like at his home.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, also about all of this is that, like, these guys can't be very thoughtful assassins if they're just like, we're going to do it in this parking lot in the middle of the day with all these people around, because they end up shooting civilians, getting obliterated. Like, if he was just at home, he wouldn't have been able to, you know, pin the one guy against the car. And, well, let's get into the meat and potatoes of the scene before I just bastardize it by...
Oh, no, you did a good job. Yeah, you mentioned they shoot some civilians. May, you want to know what some of those shoppers were named?
Yeah.
Well, there was Wendy Kostra. She was the screaming lady shopper.
She did that well. Good job, screaming lady.
She did that really well. She was in this and a short film called We'll Miss You, Carlo. That's it. She's done. She went, I did it. I did the best acting I could. And she's out the game.
I got nothing else to prove to nobody. All done. And then there was a guy who got shot for no reason. I think he goes like, Jesus Christ. And then he gets shot.
Yeah, he goes like, well, what? And you think he was a featured extra?
Yeah, because he had lines and they shot him. So they had to do him up big, you know.
But wouldn't he be like, hey, we think you'd be good at this...
Yeah, maybe he was a co-star. Yeah, I mean, he could be a co-star.
Well, and they kind of shit on him as by crediting this preppy actor.
Okay.
Oh, but also, we found this out. He's the prop master.
So they just wanted to have fun with this guy. Yeah, he's just like, I would like to get shot. That might be cool.
He's the prop master on Better Call Saul. On Breaking Bad, he's just for this. And he was also in the art department of A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, that's one of them Seth MacFarlane movies, isn't it?
Yep. A movie that sure did come out, and some people sure did see.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, that's enough of that. Sorry, guys, you don't have to hear any more random people's names anymore.
I imagined... Well, so first we think the first folly of this scene, of this attempted murder, is that the first brother goes and just openly starts shooting from behind Hank. And then is like surprised when Hank is able to put the car in reverse and pin him against a bunch of cars and get his legs all chopped off. And then the second folly of this is when that other brother is able to track down Hank, who's like crawling around in the parking lot, and he goes to kill him at point blank range, and then he goes, nah, too easy, goes back to his car and grabs an axe, and he's gonna chop up this man in broad daylight. I just don't understand it. How
it's some real James Bond shit is how I described it, where you're like, you have everything you need, but no, we want the sharks with lasers, and that's what the axe is. And it doesn't make a lot of... I mean, it makes sense. I don't know. But...
It was an important moment in that it gave the bullet an opportunity to fall out of the brother's breast pocket so that Hank might be able to shoot him.
Real quick. Listeners, do you remember the bullet? We talked about the bullet earlier.
You had to... We told you to put that little cap feather in your cap and...
Did you remember? Because here, it's back. It's back. He pulled out a clip and he reloaded his gun, but the extra bullet fell out. So, good. Okay, sorry. He goes back and get it, and Hank has an extra gun, but no bullets. And he goes, oh, look, an extra bullet. Those aren't usually lying around.
And then he puts it in his gun, and he goes, I'm sure grateful this is the right caliber for this gun, or else this would have been a real pisser. And then as the guy goes to chop up the Hank, Hank just shoots him. And the head in his head just fucking explodes. They weren't joking about that bullet. It makes your head explode.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch it both times?
I did. And I really don't like to see people's brains getting blown out. So that was...
I know you don't. That's why I was like... the first time I was like...
By surprise. Yeah, I do like this. I'm like... Like, I make that face. But I see it. I don't particularly like that they then make the debris go on the camera lens.
I like that trick.
Yeah,
They did that when they killed Jack the Nazi too.
Yeah. Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. That was a little bit more like scattered bullets. It didn't.
Well, Walt at the end shoots him right in the face with a pistol.
Because he's like, give me a second. He puts the cigarette. I remember that for some reason, but not most of what I've seen yesterday. Something from 8 months ago, sure. So. That's that. I thought it would have been way more dramatic had Hank not done anything. This would have added some mystique to the whole thing. If Hank hadn't done anything, they somehow shot Hank's gas tank. Gasoline poured all over and caused a trail that led up to the pant leg of one of the brothers. And when he was dragging the axe on the ground, it caused sparks and then ignited that trail of gasoline and set him on fire. I think that would have been baller.
I think that's the better scene. The only reason, my only qualm with it is I think you need to have Hank save his own life. And if he gets saved by some wacky antics by the boys,
I think then, it would have been great, especially if they then played Yakety Sax as the guy ran around and, on fire until Hank shoots him. Like as he's got his back turned to Hank. No, you're right. I think Hank needed to save himself.
But hey, he could have let's fix this. He could have Hank gets shot in the arm and a little bit in the butt when he's back in the car.
Yeah.
Then there's that little bit where they don't quite know where Hank is, and Hank could have like a little canister of gas and be going like toot, 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 making a little trail and then throw it on the guy's pants, but then he gets shot. And then the guy drags the axe, the sparks light him on fire.
No, here's what it is. When Hank's backing up the car, putting it hard into reverse, the other brother shoots at the car. It hits his gas tank and then gasoline starts pouring out, but it's not like a torrent. It's like, you know, just like a stream, right? And then the brother, he comes to check in to see where Hank is after his chopped up brother, brother that just got hit by a car is like, get him, finish it. He goes to look, and without even realizing it, as he's peering through the back seat, he gets some gasoline on his pant leg, but like he's too in the moment. Then he finds him, and there's already been a pool of gas that's running towards Hank anyways. You know, the way like when you're running the sprinkler and it goes down your driveway and it makes like a path itself, it's like that with the gasoline. But it's not like so big. I don't know. That's how I think it would have happened. Also, in this scene, there's kids playing with fireworks in the background, and they're shooting.
Now, that's the way to do it. Because if you're going to have Hank not be the one who thinks of the gasoline plan, I don't want the brothers to be, their demise to be only they were too stupid. I like that it's a kid with firecrackers, the one who does it.
I like that the kid with firecrackers is completely unfazed by, it's going to be Andrea's little brother, and he's doing firecracker tricks, and he doesn't even give a shit that there's a gun battle because he feels invincible since he's already killed people. So I think that this is the scene. You know what? Let's get Vince on the horn. Let's talk to Vince.
You have our notes. We have fixed this really dog shit scene that no one ever has liked and made it better. So, you know, let's get Dean Norris out there. Let's get those twins out there. Let's reshoot this bad boy.
You know,
you're still in New Mexico filming shit. Oh, boy.
What's up?
I'm getting all these texts from the New York State Sheriff being like, don't leave your house for 10 days because you were out of state.
Oh, you had to register it or whatever?
So I didn't realize it was like this. I went to the grocery store.
Oh.
But I thought if I tested negative, that was fine. But they're like, no. And so I'm like, I was going to get another test today, but I'm like, am I even allowed to leave to get the test? I don't know. Wish I had not left this state. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Scary.
It's wild that they were able to track that. Did you register or do they just...
At the airport, you have to fill out a form when you come into the state.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Yeah. I haven't flown in a plane in 1,000 years, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They're cool.
The last place I think I've flown to is Hawaii. So, and that was a while ago now.
Yeah. So, but anyway, there's a nice little moment when the man is dead and you just hear a bunch of cars honking. And it fades to black. That part's cool. Yeah.
Yes.
I already know what grade you give it, so.
B+, A-.
B+, A-, yep.
And I think it's number 4 on the ranker list.
It's number 4 on theringer.com. You've seen the top 5 episodes now.
Hurrah.
Yeah, hurrah. Sorry, we did that whole pomp and circumstance last time. and y'all missed it.
So nuts to you.
Let's double check. Is the recording still on?
I'm at 2007 beats
bars.
Or whatever bars. So it's gone. I kept it on. I'll do it this way as much as I can going forward so that we don't have that type of mix up again. I'm so sorry.
No, this is fun. This is part of the process. This is part of the journey that we did this. Everyone needs a lost episode. We have ours now.
We certainly do.
I'm kind of on the fence on which one I like more now that we're living through this one.
They're both equally over an hour, aren't they?
Yeah, looking like it. I mean, it's a popular episode, you know. People like, when you think of Breaking Bad, for you're like, ooh, 1 minute. That's a big one. And, yeah. Well.
Until next time, I suppose.
Till next time, a mighty fine Heisenberg to
you,
bear listener.
Bye.
Bye.